Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to all those who are joining us in person. Welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good to be here together, and together in this 17th Sunday after Pentecost, we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. We ask all of you guys to stand as we prepare for worship this morning, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be God, the one who forms us, Jesus who bears the cross, and the Spirit who makes our joy complete.
Amen.
Let us bow before God in humility, confessing our sin. Steadfast and faithful God,
never yield the ways of justice, yet we fail to follow you. We are overwhelmed by the world's violence and suffering. We are afraid to risk what we have for the sake of others. For the harm we have caused, known and unknown, forgive us. For the unjust demands we place on others and in your creation, forgive us. For the ways we turn away from you and our neighbor, forgive us. Lead us back to you and set us on the right path. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Beloved in Christ, God's justice stretches beyond all understanding. God's compassion is beyond compare. In Jesus, God is always making a new way for us. In Christ, you are already and always forgiven.
Thank you.
invite our children to come forward for a brief children's message. How are you guys today?
Good.
Feeling better?
Yeah.
How's school? School going good?
Yeah.
Good. Enjoying the rain? Enjoying the rain. Okay, well, this morning I want to talk to you about a story that Jesus tells. And I'm going to tell it a little bit differently. I'm going to tell you the story of Worker Blue. Now, Worker Blue went out into the field to work all day long. I mean, all day long. Hard, hard work. How much do you think God loves Worker Blue because he worked all day long? Well, then along comes Worker Red. And Worker Red only worked part of the day, just a little bit of the day. And how would you think? Does Worker Red look a lot smaller than Blue?
Yeah.
A lot smaller, right? And so we might think and make the assumption, right, that Worker Red gets a little bit of love.
But he has the same amount.
It's what? Oh, did I make that? I got things confused. Let's go back to this. So Worker Red is smaller than Worker... No. What do you think?
It's the curve.
It's just the curve, right? They're actually the same. And so the lesson that Jesus is teaching us is that we're all loved by God the same. And that even the one who's working harder or less, it's still the same. And God loves us all. There's no part of us that God loves more or less. And that God now comes and lives with us, to dwell with us. So let us pray and thank God for that love. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together in the form of prayer. One, two, three. Now repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving me the same.
Thank you for loving me the same.
Amen.
Oh, Morning. The first reading today is the conclusion to the book of Jonah. Hear now the word. When God saw what they did, the people of Nineveh, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God sent a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor, and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night, and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is found on page 6 of the bulletin. Please read it together with me. I'll read the part that is not bold, and if you would please read the part that is bold. This is from Psalm 145. "I will exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. There is no end to your greatness.
One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your power.
I will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works.
They shall tell the might of your wondrous acts, and I will recount your greatness.
They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing joyfully of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The second reading is from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Hear now the word. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
After agreeing with the laborer for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idly in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and he found others standing around. Then he said to them, "Why are you standing idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first." And when those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. And they And when they received it, now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? So take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I chose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In my first year at seminary, first year being in Philadelphia, it was also the year that I was an expecting father. And I was overcome with fear. Fear of being a new father. And maybe many of the parents in this room understand that fear of having a child. But my fear was different than yours. Because it wasn't that I was afraid that I was not going to be a good parent. I felt I could probably figure that out as it goes. No, my fear was more existential. And it's going to be terrible to say, so grandchildren, plug your ears. But at that time in my life, I didn't like children. I had friends who had children. I didn't like being around their children. I didn't like children, and now I was going to have my own, and I know that's terrible to say. Please forgive me. That was back when I was in my 20s. But I was up at night with fear that when my child was born, I would not like him. And this fear haunted me. And then the day came, we rushed to the hospital, and then the moment arrived with this little bundle of life wrapped into this blue blanket, and the nurse handed me my child. And I remember the feeling of utter and complete love for this individual washing over me, a love that I could say, I don't think anything else could love something more. And in that profound moment, captivated by this new life, I remembered something that one of my professors said. And he said, when the child is born, you will have a different view of who God is. And in that moment, as I looked at his little face, how crunchy it was, just made up a word. And I looked into his eyes, and I wanted to promise him the world that I would do everything for him. And in that moment, I did what I think I do best in these profound moments. I began to think in all these theological terms. Thought of all the classes I had, all the books I read about God. And I wondered if this professor was true. Would this really change how I viewed God? And And then, as I was going through all these big terms in my head, I came across one of our church terms, and we call it grace. What does grace mean in that moment? It means that God's love and acceptance for us comes to us, not because we earn it, not because we deserve it, but because there's something in God that says, I love you. And that was the exact moment I was in while I was holding my new child. What could my child do at that moment for me? Not much. Matter of fact, the next couple years of his little life could be completely dependent on me. And I wondered what type of conversation I would have with him if he could speak at that moment. Would he look up to me, concerned? Remember, he'd just been born. He doesn't understand this world. Would he say something like, Dad, please take care of me? I promise I'm going to do a bunch of things for you. I'll do the chores. I'll wash the dishes, feed me, change my diaper, give me a good home. And if he could have had that response, what would my response have been to him? Oh, little Jacob, you are so loved that such a thing would be just impossible. Impossible for you to earn my love because you already have. There is nothing more you need to do. So on my way home that night, leaving them in the hospital and driving home, I realized it had changed my life. It had changed my view of who God was, because I understood it differently now. And I use this story because it's going to emphasize and help us understand this parable. Because part of the lie of our modern world is not that you are worthy in your being, but you're worthy because of your doing. Our lives are measured by what we do, by what we accomplish, by the quest to obtain. The goal of life is to do, 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 and do. Your productivity is measured by your output. And we never stop and say, hey, the goal of life is just to be. Be a child of God. Be a beloved. And in that being, you might do a lot of things. But the doing is secondary to the being of who you are. My son may grow up and do a lot of things. But I wanted there in that moment for him to have the confidence of being who he was. And in those moments, I thought I would move heaven and earth for little Jacob. And then thinking back, God indeed moved heaven and earth to be with us. Come down, uniting heaven and earth. Going to the cross to overcome death and the grave for us. So that we could be. Now, friends, how does this help us understand this parable? Because this parable is exceptionally difficult. Because the parable seems unfair, doesn't it? I've spent lots of time on collective bargaining agreements when I was with the state, and I will tell you, no union in the entirety of the world would agree to this pay arrangement. Because what would happen? If all you had to do was show up for that last hour of your shift and you get the full day's pay, well, there'd be no point in showing up in the first place, wouldn't there? You would just show up for that last hour, and you would show up late for that last hour, so it'd be like 45 minutes, right? And then whenever I study this text with people, they come out with saying then, what's the point? What's the point of being here? And this is where those two thoughts connect. Because if you're in that field thinking that you're somehow going to earn God's love, if little Jacob trying to crawl around the house was trying to earn the love of his father, you're wasting time. There is no point in that game. No point in thinking that your life is the sum total of your doing. And so we're invited to give up that game entirely. Stop trying to earn this love and this presence of God in our lives. Give it up. But then step into the new reality that of the possibilities that now open up to you. When you no longer have to do and just be, the world becomes open to you. What you do, how you embrace that God is with us and around us and for us is unlimited. How you reach out to your neighbors and your world and love because you are filled with God's love becomes unlimited in what you can do. That unlimited possibility begins with giving up the task of earning. And as I close up, I will just give you one quick circuit analogy. I can go out on the waves and think that my sum total of that experience is in how many waves I catch, or how fast I go on it, how many turns I make. And at the end of the day, that I'm only a good surfer if I cap a certain amount. But if we are more than our doing, and we are in truly our being, one child of, then my experience out there is no longer about how many I catch. But can I be with God in water that represents my baptism? Can I be in the spirit there, feeling the earth's breath as that swell comes and lowers? Can I experience grace in every wave that comes? The possibility of being are endless once we realize that we are what God has declared us to be, and that is beloved children. And we come because Christ has done all the work to make this possible, moved heaven and earth, and now we are invited to just be, to come forward to this meal and know that you are already one with God and God for you. And as we take and eat and we realize this miracle unfolding in our midst, that God is all around us, possibilities are endless, and we will cry out with the words of our text, "Oh, how generous are you, O God." Amen.
Breathe me.
remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. God, who is gracious and merciful, teach your church to invite and welcome all. Lead us to be grateful for the blessing of community. Challenge your church to choose equity and compassion over judgment. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, who sends the wind and sun, you know every worm and bush by name. Help us remember that even the humblest parts of creation are precious to you. Show us how best to care for the earth and its creatures. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, who is ready to relent from punishing, impart your compassionate wisdom to legislators, judges, members of the military, and law enforcement. Give them courage to serve their communities in times of uncertainty, stress, or exhaustion. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God who saves, direct your people who are tempted by evil ways. Protect your children from calamity and disaster. Strengthen all who are incarcerated. Encourage all who are in despair or pain of any kind. Especially Owen, Aaron, Kevin, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Twyla, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, Meredith, Marcia, Paul, Dawn, Denise, the Weaver family, the family of Ara Haddock, victims of the war in Ukraine, the earthquake in Morocco. We pray for St. Timothy Church and for recovery efforts in Maui. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, who is slow to anger, may we boast about the goodness of Jesus with the confidence of Paul in prison. Inspire us to find abundance in whatever vocation we are called to in the world and in service to our congregation. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, who abounds in steadfast love, we give thanks for the saints called to the kingdom of heaven. United with them in spirit, hold us firm as we labor in this life and look to the life to come. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming and glory, and we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food. The body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. This is the table of God, the gifts of God for the people of God, and all people are invited forward to this table. We have started a renewed emphasis on how we receive communion here. But the usher will invite you forward and we will ask you to fill the rail from left, meaning from right to left. You may receive communion in either standing or kneeling. We ask that you extend your arm out to receive the element in your hand. You can have gluten-free options upon request. And then to reach in to the tray of wine and either pick the red liquid, which is the wine, or the clear liquid, which you wish only to receive a blessing, come with your arms folded. But no, this space is a space of sacred encounter, and you may encounter your God in however you wish to encounter at this place. For this is the gift of God for all of you.
Amen.
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 Strengthened by this food, send us out to gather the world to your banquet. When none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Now we take a moment to pause for some announcements. And if there's Marty's in the back with some microphones, if we have any announcements for the good of the order, please raise your hand.
Yes, I'd like to invite everybody across the street to ABC School. PFLAG and Pride are putting on a picnic from 12 to 2, and we were going to go down to the state park by the, but it's raining, so we're going across the street, and we'll all be dry and good together. Please come.
Join us at noon. Any other announcements? We have a custom now on Thursdays at 1, we go on the beach walk. I will still be here Thursday at 1. If anyone shows up, we will go on a beach walk, regardless of the condition. No hard feelings if no one shows up. We always get coffee too. With that being said, let us prepare our hearts for the benediction. The God of glory, Jesus Christ, name above all names, and the Spirit who lives in you, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.